You are listening to the podcast of Grace Bible Church Ann Arbor. We are the rescued people of God joining His great restoration project. More information, including sermons in this series, can be found at graceatu.org. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Many of us have engaged in something commonly known as church shopping. In fact, maybe you're checking out our church right now. If so, welcome. We're happy to have you. But when Charity, my wife, and I were first in our house, before I was a pastor at a church, I was teaching at a Christian school, and we went on a quest to find a good local church to be part of. And at that time, I was in seminary, which meant that I was being trained to listen and look for certain things in churches. And some of the churches we went to would have some of the elements we wanted and not others. We looked for just the right balance of someone who was engaging in their preaching, but also biblically dense and on. For a group of people at the church that were friendly, but not like weird, like we were fresh blood or something. And so constantly we would walk away from a church and we'd say, well, what did you think? What did you think? And try to figure out, is this the right church for us? On one occasion, I had a group of my students who invited me to go to their church. Now, these particular students happened to be African American, and they told me that I should expect that when I went to their church, that I would be in the racial minority. And so I went with them one Sunday to their church service. What I didn't expect was during the church service, all of the guests were asked to stand up in front of the entire church and have the church members turn to them and sing a welcome song. True story. So there I stood with my once pale face bright, bright red as all of my students tried to control their laughter and their giggles at my discomfort. Incidentally, not one of those students passed my classes after that little episode. Finding a church can be hard. Figuring out a church can be hard. Describing a church can be hard. Recently, I was getting my hair cut, and the woman who's cutting my hair, she said, so what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. And she said, well, what church? And I said, I'm a pastor at a church called Grace Bible Church. She said, I think I've heard of that church. What kind of church is it? Well, that's not the easiest question to answer. Generally, when somebody asks me that, the first thing I do is I make a joke like, it's the coolest church ever or something, which isn't a joke. That's very, very serious. But also, I just try to say something, but I never know what they're asking. Are they asking, how big is the church? I mean, in our case, the church is how big? I don't know. There's 200-300 people online every week. There's 750 to 1,000 people that attend in person every week. On Easter, in person, there was 1,400 people. So that kind of church? Are they asking about the music? I mean, how would you describe it? I always say it's perfect. Everything about it is just right. Just a beautiful mix of new and timeless classics, right decibel level. Everything is just right on. Are they asking about doctrine? We could talk about doctrine. Are they asking about denomination? You know, we're not a Baptist or Presbyterian or Methodist. We're independent. So every time those denominations do something weird, it's not our fault. But what are they asking when they say, what kind of church is GBC? Well, that is part of what we've been talking about these last couple weeks. Last week, we began a sermon series that we're calling Reunion. And we retold the great story of the rebel and the rule follower, both being invited to their father's table. And in this sermon series, we wanted to start with that story because that really describes our faith. Reunion stories are the best kind of stories. A soldier back home after deployment, a grandparent who's been away from their kids, maybe due to the pandemic for a long time, who gets to see their grandkids again. Maybe a church person who hasn't been at the church for a while, who steps back into the church building and gets to see all of their fellow church friends. Those kind of reunion stories are awesome. Those stories where a pet has been lost for some time and then they're reunited, those are some of the cutest stories ever. I was researching reunion stories and I came across this particular news story of a dog who'd been missing for 3 years. And you can see in the video when you watch it, that at first this dog is not too certain who the owner is, but the owner knew who the dog was. The owner had been looking for that dog for those 3 years. And slowly but surely, the dog sort of warms up, and then they have this beautiful, this cute, this moment of just excited being reunited together again. We love these kinds of stories. When broken things are made whole, when lost ones are brought back home again. And so we began this sermon series by saying this is what we as a church are all about. The invitation of Jesus to everyone to be part of what their Heavenly Father is doing in this world, to sit at His table with Him. As part of this series, we are also beginning to share that we are entering into a season of raising funds to undertake a significant building project that we are calling the Reunion Initiative. And so there's a video and an online brochure available, which you can see at graceatu.org/reunion if you want to get some more info about that. And we've been talking about what we're planning and how we as a church can be participating in that initiative in the weeks to come. But as we're rolling out this building project, we're asking that question. What kind of church are we really? What defines GBC? Well, today we're going to look at a text that is in a letter written by the Apostle Paul to his young protege named Timothy. Now, Timothy was a pastor of a church, and the Apostle Paul was giving him instructions about how to be a pastor of that church. But kind of buried in those instructions of what to do, we see some descriptions of what the church is to be, what exactly the church was supposed to be all about. And so in these verses today that we're going to be looking at, we're going to see some pretty interesting things about what we ought to be or what should define us as a church. So look with me, if you would, at 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14. This is what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. These are some amazing verses about the church. And so I want to look at them today in three parts, all alliterated like every perfect sermon in case you're looking for a church. All right, here are the three parts. Church confusion, church confession, and church community. So first, let's start with church confusion. The Apostle Paul uses a couple different phrases to describe the church, but I want to look at the word that we translate into the word church just in this text. If you look at the text, you can see the verse there in verse 15. You can see the word there. It says, which is the church. You can circle that if you like. Now, this brings us to our Bible nerd Greek word, moment of the day. I'm always throwing Hebrew words or Greek words at you. And my guess is, for many of us, this is even true for me. Sometimes I tell you a Greek or Hebrew word, a few weeks later, I'm like, wait, what did that mean again? But this word is one of those words that maybe you've heard before at some point, and that is the word ekklesia. Ekklesia is the Greek word that we translate as church. And what ekklesia means, or what's kind of underneath the definition of the word, is that it is a group of people that is called out of the kingdoms of the world and into the kingdom of God. So there's a being called out from and called to sort of reality to this word. This word appears 114 times in the New Testament, and every time it appears, it is about a group of people who are called out of their old world, their old tribes, their old identities, and called into a new identity, a new family, if you will, a new tribe in God. Perhaps you've seen the movie Miracle, which is about the U.S. Olympic hockey team and its quest for gold in 1980. Maybe if you're old enough, you remember even watching that whole scene play out. Unlike the rest of the world that had professional athletes in the Olympics, the U.S. team was comprised mostly of amateurs, college players, junior hockey players from around the country. And these guys were brought from all of these different teams, brought onto this one team, and their coach, Herb Brooks, was supposed to take these young men with their different identities and kind of mold them into this new team. Well, there's kind of a pivotal scene in the movie right after they have a game that ends up kind of disappointing. The crowd has left the building, the lights are kind of dim, and Coach Brooks has his players on the ice, and he starts to run them through some drills. And the drill that he's running them through is basically a sprint. They have to skate as fast as they can down to the end line and then back. And so he says, he blows his whistle, and he says, again, go. And the guys skate as fast as they can, and they come back. And he looks at them, and he goes, again, go. And he just keeps making them do this over and over again. And he just keeps having his assistant blow the whistle again, again, again. And they just keep skating over and over and over again to the point where the other coaches start to question what he's doing. But he wants his team to start to understand something as he does this. And so he says, again, and the coaches start to like, coach, they're getting exhausted. The players are starting to fall over, and they're slipping, and they're just completely exhausted. And finally, one of the players speaks up, and the coach acknowledges him, and he says, Michael Arizioni from Winthrop, Massachusetts. The kid kind of introduces himself to the coach, so to speak, says who he is. And then Coach Brooks says, and who do you play for? Now, up to that point, all these players had shouted out their college team or their junior hockey team. But in that moment, this player says, I play for the United States of America. And with that, the drill is over. The coach was trying to get them to understand, you come from all these